Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. At this time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, stats show Democrats hemorrhaging members across the nation while still advocating illegal immigration, DEI, camouflage bigotry, of course, socialism relabeled as social justice, and fascistically censoring dissent in the name of saving democracy. How counterintuitive can you get? Oh, yeah, let's undercut one of the pillars of the very form of government we're espousing that we advocate. How do you do that? You cannot be in league with democracy while at the same time supporting the censorship of dissent. But that's what they love doing. Are they ever going to learn? I think not. Also, the New York Appellate Court, which is still chatting about this, humiliates Judge Arthur Engoron, as well as New York Attorney General Letitia James. How? By scornfully tossing out their tag-teamed $500 million plus civil judgment penalty against Trump, thus providing the president with the last laugh. Let's face it. Time to start rubbing it in? I think so. Also, Trump continues racking up victories in his federalizing of D.C. law enforcement. How? By generating hundreds and hundreds of arrests. Thus, of course, validating its long overdue takeover. Will Trump get his congressional extension after 30 days, however? That's the big question. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, one of my regulars, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide, including the New York Times, as well as the Wall Street Journal. He's testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before both congressional subcommittees and regulatory bodies. Tom, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks.
Good to have you. Good to have you. I tell you what, just to give us a flavor of what's going on here in D.C., let's drop in on our friends over at CNN. We got CNN Newsnight with Abby Phillips, and she's admitting that D.C. has a crime problem, but questions why governors would send their National Guard to D.C. when there's crime in their own states. And, of course, CNN's Scott Jennings, political analyst, weighs in on it as well. Clip six, James, if you please.
No denying D.C.'s got a crime problem, but should these governors be sending troops from their states where they have crime problems to D.C.?
Well, I mean, if you're suggesting we call out the National Guard in these cities, I think that's a different conversation than our nation's capital, the District of Columbia, which is a federal zone. And I don't think it's theater. I think it's working. They've arrested hundreds of people. They've gotten a number of violent criminals off the street. Just last night, they arrested an illegal alien and a member of MS-13. They've gotten a lot of illegal guns off the street. Half of all the non-immigration arrests have come in D.C.'s two most violent wards. There was some concern that they wouldn't be looking into the places where the crime is. That's not true. They actually have been. And so I have to say, with the amount of progress they've made in just these few days, if it improves a little bit in our nation's capital, that's good for every state, because every state has people that visit there all the time.
It seems like Jennings is making a valid point, and it does also appear as if the people who live there are not hating the idea of there being a decrease in violence. Your sense of it, like, you live in D.C.
I do, and going back to the defund the police idea, the people who wanted the police to help them were the ones that objected the most, and yet on the left they were thinking, oh, we're going to make it better for them because we're going to call in a social worker when there's, like, somebody shooting someone. Well, that was not the case for those neighborhoods where, unfortunately, a lot of minorities and, you know, other people who live in those communities are the ones getting shot and killed. And so they welcome these changes. And in the last week, for the first time in decades, I moved to D.C. in 1978, there has not been a single homicide for a week. Now think about what, like, the idea. That is a miracle, and there's no homicide for a week. That should be the norm, right? You don't want any homicide. But this has made a big difference. It's allowed the police to do the work that they need. And like these other cities where they let these young kids who are committing crime after crime, mostly carjacking, every single time that they get out of any kind of incarceration, the bail laws are loose, like New York City. So the city council needs to make the change to make it permanent. But what the president has done is a great thing for the District of Columbia and the country.
Well, it seems as if, you know, folks who were originally against it are shifting gears just a little bit. But it also appears, and I say this as somebody who lived in D.C. as well, I can't think of anybody who has a problem with there being a reduction of violence by any stretch of the imagination. And it appears to me as if more and more people are coming on board. Byron York had written recently in the Washington Examiner on what he calls the Trump is bad but right effect. He says, there's something interesting going on in the continuing controversy over President Donald Trump's anti-crime initiative in Washington, D.C. When Trump first announced the move, saying crime in the city is, quote-unquote, out of control, many Democrats and their media allies denounced it with the argument that crime is, in fact, falling in the district, perhaps even to its lowest point in 30 years, because it's gone down by about 30%. But those are all assertions predicated on corrupted numbers, as it turns out. We learned recently from D.C.'s police union chief, Greg Pemberton, I think is his name, that these numbers were fudged. Matter of fact, the people fudging these numbers, cooking the books, were fired between June and July. And it was all done, really, to assist public officials in saving face. In other words, you had these strange maneuvers going on in which you would have violent crimes recategorized just so that once in a different column of activity, they could ensure that violent crime stats would not be increased. In other words, they would go ahead and take a shooting victim and have him classified as an injured person brought to the hospital, if you will. Well, when you do that, of course, you correspondingly reduce what is then subsequently viewed as the criminal stats. So understanding that we've had a corruption of crime stats, I don't see much of a defense being provided to the left in opposition to Trump, or am I seeing too much into this, Tom?
Well, it's all about interfering in the local government. It's about Donald Trump generally, as Byron York pointed out, and we've talked about as well. Even if he does something right, it's wrong. But in this case, there have been a number of articles from people who work at ABC News on DeSalle Street, right in the middle of town. Several of them been mugged near their offices. I used to have an office nearby there. So that's downtown D.C. That shouldn't happen. And all of a sudden, the liberals, you know, a liberal is a liberal until they're mugged, then they become a conservative. And that literally happened as journalists across the city are saying, yeah, you know what? This happened to me, happened to my friend. Everybody knows someone this has happened to. So it is a perception that is real, which is those statistics don't matter. If people don't feel safe, then they're not safe. It's as simple as that. And this is making people feel safer, because you are taking people off the streets who are committing and recommitting crimes because they're simply getting let out no matter what they do.
As you may have heard from the 2024 election, even in blue states that still stuck with Kamala Harris, We still found that across the nation, about 90% of all counties went in the direction of the conservatives. They may not, conservatives may not have won all of them, fine, but the 90% of all the counties in the country still went in that direction. And accordingly, we're seeing stats reflecting that Democrats are truly hemorrhaging members. I was reading recently in The Hill headline, "Democrats Alarmed Over New Data Showing Voters Fleeing to the GOP." It's by Amy Parnes. I want to discuss this a bit on the other end. Tom, if you can, buddy, hang on the line for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Everyone's using it, but not everyone is talking about it, and that's AI in the workplace. Kelsey Warren, founder of the Seamless Coach LLC, shares why many employees say they're keeping this, along with their feelings about other technologies, to themselves, and what business and IT leaders can learn.
According to new research from Cox Business, 60% of Gen Z and millennials feel positive about the growing role of AI at work and use AI tools for everything from summarizing meetings to creative brainstorming. But about half of both groups are nervous to admit how much the role of AI technology plays in their productivity. Fear of job loss and uncertainty about companies' AI policies factor into employees' hesitancy to speak up. The survey also revealed that despite being confident in their ability to adopt new technology, nearly 70% feel overwhelmed by the number of tools they're expected to use at work.
For more information and to see the full survey, visit coxblue.com/workplace-tech-survey.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers song Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on. And know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
You both said they're not doing anything. The simple fact that they are there.
I didn't say all their of them. Presence, I said a majority of them.
And having more eyes and ears on the streets of Washington, D.C., a place where there is crime happening all over the city, I don't know how you could argue that that is not
a good use
of their time. It's our nation's capital.
But you have
it's our national capital.
For crime to go down.
It is a disgrace for it to be
just,
violent.
But this is just one thing on that. Some of the crime that's being committed in D.C. is by young individuals.
Yeah, and they don't prosecute people under 25. How dumb is that?
But it gets to the point of the root problem here. We have an education problem. We have a schools problem. We have a community problem.
We have a carjacking problem.
And that's not going to be addressed by having the National Guard there for many years.
So I agree with you. It's hard to run cities. But it's also easy to see the error of your ways. In Washington, D.C., they limit prosecutions of people under the age of 25. Who do you think is committing the crimes?
And you know what? The mayor has been fighting against that for a while now.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Of yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. We're listening to an exchange on CNN's Newsnight with Abby Phillips. We had Scott Jennings discussing with Sabrina Singh, a former Pentagon deputy spokesperson under Biden. Scott Jennings is himself a CNN political analyst, discussing the effectiveness of the presence of National Guardsmen in D.C. Singh says that the crime is being done by young people and the need to address the root causes, while Scott says D.C. does not prosecute these young people who are out there committing murder. That's part of the problem. Abby steps in to say the mayor has been fighting to get those young people prosecuted. Bottom line is, what about this root causes drivel that we hear so often? To me, it sounds like an escape hatch, because by that measure, you have an excuse to not deal with a particular infraction that requires a greater immediacy if people are genuinely going to be protected in any real-time fashion. I mean, the root cause of a lot of these young criminals is perhaps because they come from broken homes, but should the mending of their families be the thing upon which all law enforcement is contingent? I mean, should people really be at the mercy of that type of thing? Root causes. Give me a break. Anyway, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, none other than Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. Again, you've seen his writings in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. Tom, appreciate you sticking around. Your sense of where this issue is going, and to what extent has this attitude contributed to the, as I stated before, hemorrhaging of membership in the Democrat Party, Tom?
Well, that is one of the reasons, among many others, but it is certainly true, and I do give Mayor Bowser some credit for saying she'd like to have more prosecution, but the city elected an attorney general who's finding everything the president has done and says we'll take care of it ourselves, which is obviously not. The city council isn't doing anybody any favors by not prosecuting or not allowing prosecutions of these kids under 25 who are committing 65% or 60%+ of the carjacking. It's simple. If they are not on the street, they can't commit the crime. I'm not sure what else people need to figure out about this. Right? Either juvenile facilities where they can, you know, perhaps pick something up that they can learn and do something positive with. More enforcement of truancy in schools, which is pretty high in the city. And then simply, you know, better standards of education, which is, again, a problem these days. Look, some of it stems from...
Yeah, but the education, I mean, that's not something that addresses an immediate need. Because I'm sorry, but when it comes to stopping crimes, too often Democrats want to make things like resolving root causes a greater priority than the enforcement of laws. Despite only the latter being able to halt real-time infractions. They prefer to take funds away from the police, place them in social services programs, while often reducing punitive actions against the criminals. To me, it sounds like it's a political escape hatch from immediate accountability. I mean, for example, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of violent criminals are generated from the root causes of broken families. But come on, protection and justice for victims surely cannot be conditioned upon the mending of those families, can it? I ask you, Tom.
Well, that is one of their theories, right? We have to deal with this issue, and they ignore the victims. We've seen that far too often. And people who are the victims of crime need to be protected. And again, the best way to protect them is to take immediate action against the criminal regardless of their age, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Look,
younger ages.
There's something to be said about pursuing the solving of root causes, but in support of a greater immediacy when looking at the necessary remedy to protect the people who are in very real time being threatened. Oh, otherwise we're being told, oh, before we enforce these laws to stop this guy from killing you, we need to get his mom and dad back together again. Are you kidding me? I mean, when you think about it, this reminds me of what former Vice President Kamala Harris argued. That, remember, she said that resolving the root causes behind illegal crossovers was really more important or just as important as border security that would have stopped them. And I think Trump proved that we can quickly stop those illegal entries. How? By simply enforcing the laws created for that purpose. I mean, isn't that why he's apparently, isn't that perhaps what he's trying to do right now? Reduce the carnage in our nation's capital, Tom.
Absolutely. You're shutting the door by taking these people off the streets. It's the same theory seems to be working, as we mentioned in the first segment. Not a single homicide in a week, which hasn't happened in decades, and as I said, should be the norm, not the exception. And hopefully this will lead to greater work and better work by the local police once the president has to, unfortunately, remove the National Guard and the other efforts. Look, the FBI can still be there. The FBI still has a law enforcement role around the country. So there are things that can be done by the federal government going forward.
Well, I know what you're getting at. I know what you're getting at, because Trump only has like 30 days, but he also has the option of getting extension from Congress, and that's not something subject to a filibuster. He doesn't need to have made a filibuster in the Senate in order to get an extension of 30 days, because it's an already existing law. It's just an operational phase that for which he would need approval. Do you see Congress giving him that 30-day extension?
I'm not sure, and I'm not sure if he does need 60 or not, but if he does, I doubt that you'll get it's the 8 Democrats that they need or 7 Democrats that they need, again, because they don't feel that Donald Trump should be doing anything
Hold on. I'm misunderstanding something. What do you mean need? I just got done saying it does not have to pass filibuster muster. It doesn't have to reach 60 because it's an already existing law.
They'll get it. Yeah, they could get 53, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they'd get a majority in the House without any problem, but either way, he may also just use the additional authority and say it's still an emergency, I'm going to keep going. But whatever it does, it's made a tremendous impact in the short time that has been in effect. They've got more time, and hopefully it instills in the city itself a desire to have better law enforcement and keep these criminals off the street, regardless of their age, because that's been one of the problems.
Real fast, I was touching on this a bit, and I see the clock's running down, unfortunately. I wanted to talk a little bit about Amy Parnes' piece in The Hill. Headline, Democrats alarmed over new data showing voters fleeing to the GOP. Talks about a devastating New York Times report showing that of the 30 states that maintain voter registration records by political party, Democrats fell behind Republicans in all of them between 2020 and 2024. In total, Republicans added up to 4.5 million voters compared to Democrats, creating a huge hole that could set Democrats back for years. Does this impact the 2026 midterms dispositively?
Oh, absolutely, because you're going to have more people voting for Republicans. It's simple math, and they've made a big difference, and people like what they're doing. They don't like what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah, and it's as if their only remedy for trying to catch up is to continue doing more of the same. It's as if they're preoccupied with the idea, oh, our problem is with our messaging. It's not with the message that we're conveying. It's only the messaging. As long as they stick with that, the GOP have it made. Tom Schatz, always a blast. Going to be right back.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion, let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us, covering a number of things here today. Stats show Democrats hemorrhaging members across the nation while still advocating for things like illegal immigration, DEI, which is camouflage bigotry, socialism, relabeled as social justice, and, of course, fascistically censoring dissent in the name of saving democracy. Will they ever learn? Also, New York appellate court humiliates Judge Arthur Engoron and New York Attorney General Letitia James. How? by scornfully tossing out their tag-teamed $500 million-plus civil judgment penalty against Trump, thus providing the president with the last laugh. I think it might be time to start rubbing it in. What you say? Also, Trump continues racking up victories in his federalizing of D.C. law enforcement. How? By generating hundreds of arrests, thus validating its long overdue takeover, when you think about it. Will Trump get his congressional extension after 30 days, and does he really even need it? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing none other than Tim Phillips, Director of Government Affairs and Global Strategies at Newspoint. He was previously president of Americans for Prosperity, and he's here to chat with us about Trump's D.C. takeover. Tim, thanks for joining us again. How are you today?
Always good to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. I want to go ahead and maybe listen a little bit to what Byron York had to say on how Trump is performing in D.C. He was on Fox News' Live with John Scott. Let's have clip 8, James, if you please.
I saw one interesting thread on X yesterday. Somebody wrote in and said, hey, you know, D.C. isn't as bad as the president is making it out to be. Let's all share what a great city we have. And the respondents listed a bunch of crimes that they have either been victims of or witnessed in the streets.
Not a surprise. As a matter of fact, there was a story in the Washington Post where one resident of a neighborhood was talking about gangs that had come into his neighborhood and made trouble, trying to break in cars, things like that. And this person was afraid to give his name for fear of retribution. And he was saying that, you know, Donald Trump is wrong, but there's a really serious problem here that needs to be fixed. So what Trump has done, the kind of brilliance of what Trump has done, is it's put Democrats in a position of either going along with him and trying to reduce crime in the district, or basically kind of speaking out in favor of the status quo, which is a serious crime rate in the District of Columbia.
And a lot of the folks, and he touched on this, are insisting, oh, you know, crime is actually going down. But as you may have heard, police union chairman Greg Pemberton has frequently explained that the data has actually been manipulated. When you hear, oh, it's gone down lower than it's been in 30 years, he's explained that the data has actually been corrupted. It's been manipulated by having crimes reported as lesser offenses, such as a shooting reported now merely as taking an injured person to the hospital. And, of course, we also have these store owners supporting that which these excrement-drenched Democrat leaders say isn't necessary because Trump is supposedly exaggerating the dangers of youth gangs. Even as D.C.'s NBC4 reported on D.C. Police Union Chair Pemberton's exposing how the higher-ups have been caught red-handed cooking the crime stats. I mean, where do you see us going from here in the weeks ahead?
I can tell you, I'm in D.C. on a consistent basis. I stay downtown two nights this week doing work in 3 days. It does feel safer. I was at Union Station. I got a cup of coffee, met a client there earlier in the week. The day before, actually, Secretary Hegseth and some of the others were there and were protested by the old white hippie guys that were chanting. It does feel safer in Washington, D.C., and the only people complaining are the professional left-wing, you know, elite political class. You don't hear complaints from wards 7 and 8, which is across the Anacostia River in the Anacostia part, the poorer parts of D.C. that are not gentrified, where it's even more violent, even more dangerous for the folks there, mostly black families for the most part. You don't hear complaints there because they feel safer and they're probably thankful to Trump and thankful to God for it. Americans know that they can't trust the Democrat Party and the left on this crime stuff. It's such a losing issue, and if they want to lean in and embrace it with a bunch of old hippies, as J.D. Vance pointed out yesterday, let them do it. Not only is Trump making D.C. safer, and most people there are thankful for it, including people like me who go in there for meetings and work, but he's winning the PR side of this. It's an absolute winner.
No, it does appear so. And it also might explain to some extent, well, this kind of mindset might explain why it is we're hearing that the Democrats are hemorrhaging membership.
Yeah.
According to The Hill, Amy Parnes wrote this piece in which she explained that there was this devastating New York Times report showing that of the 30 states that maintain voter registration records by political party, Democrats have fallen behind the Republicans in all of them, every one of them. between 2020 and 2024. Now here, the Republicans added, what, 4.5 million voters compared to the Democrats. And she adds that this is creating a huge hole that could set the Democrats back for years. Quote, this is from a quotation from a Democrat strategist, Eddie Vail. I think it should be an alarm. I think it's a real problem. And she adds that the data comes as Democrats struggle to figure out how to get out of the political wilderness after losing the presidency to Donald Trump and control of both chambers of Congress to the GOP. End of excerpt. But, you know, my friend, they're still advocating illegal immigration. They're still advocating DEI. And as I said, that's just camouflage bigotry. They're advocating socialism, which has been relabeled as social justice. And they are indeed fascistically censoring dissent in the name of saving democracy. Will their strategy changes ever involve policy changes versus only tactics? Your take.
That is exactly, you're exactly right. They seem to think that if they curse more, that if they look a little cooler and go on some manosphere, as they call it, podcast or radio shows, that that'll solve their problem, that it's a language or communications problem. It's the policies, but I don't think they can change on the policy front, and here's why. The dominant elites that run their party, it's a top-down party, that run their party are so bound ideologically by this woke social justice, almost Maoist ideology that they can't change it. And they enforce discipline very aggressively within their ranks at the risk of being canceled, at the risk of being pushed out into the political wilderness if you say anything issues-wise that's different. So they're in a real bind. I think the only thing that can save them politically in the next year and a half before the midterms next year would be an economic downturn. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think the numbers we're getting are good enough. And inflation seems to be, slowly settling down where we want it to be. I think that's the only thing that can save the Democrats would be an economic downturn. They literally are in the position. They're so left-wing, so nutty. They can't change it because of the radical nature of the elites that run their party. They got to hope for a bad economy.
Talk about the inflation a little bit. It ticked up a little bit recently, but still in the aggregate, it's lower than where it was when Biden left office. It was 2.9. Now what is it, 2.7 or something like that? I mean, and not only that,
worrisome.
Let's remember something. When Trump left office the first time, it was at 1.4%. And that was following a year of COVID crap, and he still kept inflation at 1.4%. Biden comes in, and in a very short period of time, he gins it up to 9.2%. It was there for 18 months. Now, eventually, he was able to get it down some, but when you look at his term in office and the aggregate, his average inflation rate was 5.1%. Trump's been in office, and he's never had it as high as Joe had it when he left, which was at 2.9. He's had it lowered, and it looks as if these are just part of growing pains because all of his tariff deals are paying off. He just wrapped up one with the EU. The EU, you know, we should remember the European Union consists of like 27 countries, and he's hammered out a great trade deal. Now it's like 15% tariffs have been agreed upon by the EU. That's going to be it. He cut a deal with South Korea, Vietnam, Israel. It goes on and on. The UK, for God's sakes. I mean, it strikes me that the Democrats are stuck with somehow repeatedly applying assertions to the point where hopefully they think the American people will believe them to be facts. It doesn't work that way. You have to tether your assertions to the required validating grounds. Otherwise, you're doing nothing but shouting out of your sweaty rectum. Where am I mistaken?
The Democrats, if they really believe that it's simply a communications problem, they're dead politically. And the two biggest issues burning right now that are hurting them are the immigration, and Trump is on the right side, both in policy, but also politically. Americans are sick of what they saw in the last 4 years, and they want a safer country and a rule of law. He's winning on that, and then now on crime, he's absolutely winning. And it's on the substance, not because he's a PR expert, although the president's very good. It's because he's right on the substance.
Well, yeah, because his actions are proving his words and his prognostications to be more correct than not. It's as if the Democrats have no capacity for self-appraisal, do they? I mean, when will they learn that it's not so much their messaging as it is their messages? Americans don't like open borders and non-enforcement of immigration laws. They don't like opposition to law enforcement in the name of secondary measures of allegedly higher morals concerning social equity. And they don't like being told that dissent is impermissible unless it's theirs. Stick with us. Going to be right back.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, we've been going over a number of things here today. Also, a number of things we haven't gotten to, but I am pursuing them nonetheless. But it does appear as if the Democrats are in a bit of trouble right now. They are hemorrhaging numbers, and it does appear as if they only have themselves to blame. Republicans have added 4.5 million voters compared to Democrats. As written by Amy Parmes in The Hill, this is creating a huge hole that could set Democrats back for years. And to what do we attribute their problems? Maybe it's because they're not changing their perspectives, thinking only a shift in communicating is necessary. It's not how they're communicating their policies. That's not the problem. It's the policies themselves. But as long as they just tell themselves that it's the former, then really they don't have to admit that it's the latter, do they? Or am I missing something here? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, none other than Tim Phillips, Director of Government Affairs and Global Strategies at Newspoint. He was previously President of Americans for Prosperity for about a decade and a half. Tim, appreciate you sticking around. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
I was looking at some of the more histrionic displays of disapproval towards Trump. You know, you hear people, a lot of Democrat strategists saying, well, you've got this administration which is causing more polarization than we've seen in a very, very long time. They're always talking about polarization. I'm thinking to myself, no, we've actually got less polarization. But that reality is just clouded by a minority of left-wingers screaming an outside pestilence, if you will, an outsized pestilence, apparently trying to simulate a supposed polarization for self-enlargement goals. Or am I being too crass?
No, that is what they're trying. They think, and certainly Newsom out of California is leading this idea, they think, hey, if we can just sound as tough as Trump sounds, and then if we put our little cool twist of comms on it, that's the way to get the country back. What they don't understand, again, this is so important, what President Trump is doing on the policy front is what Americans are supporting. And it's, yes, he's a good salesperson for it, no doubt about that. He's the best I've ever seen in my lifetime on online and on being able to kind of own the other guys. But that's not the basis of his popularity, and certainly not the basis for the Americans being satisfied with how the direction of the country is getting better under him. It is his policies. And until the left gets that, they're going to keep hemorrhaging voters. And one of the most important things in that story that you have so properly brought up about the loss of millions of voters, the Democrats used to be able to go into inner cities and other places and just register to vote every single black person they could find to register, or Latino. And then they could be relatively confident that 90, 95% of them, if they voted, would vote Democrat. Trump has changed that equation. He's now getting a significant chunk, especially of younger black men and of Latinos across the board. So their core voter registration strategy is obsolete now. That's an enormous problem for them.
No, it is. And it's because identity politics is not resonating like it used to. Because
exactly.
And this whole idea of social justice, they think that their movable standard arguments are going to survive. That is, the renaming of things being something other than what it is in order to gain the ground your arguments otherwise could not. Those days are over with. That's born out of 2,400-year-old ancient Athenian sophistry, wherein you could say the conclusion of your claim validates your point versus showing the validation itself. It's sort of an inverted burden of proof construct. But the relabeling, you know, in lieu of arguments they can't otherwise muster, it just doesn't work. For instance, socialism is now called, as you know, social justice. And then what they do is they tether that to racial identity groups to ensure that any criticism against socialism can now be characterized as criticism against the racial group behind which that socialism has been placed and relabeled. I don't think people are buying into that anymore. They understand that word association bridges that are taking the nonsensical to the reasonable sounding can no longer be acceptable. And it seems as if Trump has done a marvelous job, without maybe going at it in the words that I applied, but he's done a marvelous job at stripping away that mirage. Where am I mistaken?
Well, you're exactly right about the word changes and then trying to enforce that discipline of words and phrases and what you call things. That, we mentioned Maoist ideology, which drives the modern left today. One of the key elements of it is that verbiage matters. What phraseology matters because it enforces mass discipline, and it begins from the top with the leftist elites, and they push it down. And Americans, and I'm thankful for this, they're rebelling against that. They're saying, look, we're done with all the woke speak and all the, if you don't say certain things a certain way, you're an evil person and you're racist. Americans have pushed back and rebelled with that. And there's a really interesting piece out today, Third Way, one of the center left, more moderate left groups. They have a new verbiage catalog saying to Democrat candidates, hey, here are about 5 dozen words and phrases you got to stop using. So even they are starting to understand this Maoist, neo-Maoist word speak and phraseology.
Well, yeah, and it's the construct of it's that, plus it's also the way they try to construct an argument. The concept is trying to point out that an agenda is validated by its stated goal. Which is insane, because an agenda is never validated by its stated goal, because by that measure, any schmuck can come up with any asinine agenda he or she or they want, as long as he, she, or they first remembers to say, oh, it's in the name of this laudable goal. It's all attributable to these corrupted syllogisms and fractured enthymemes, if you will. You know, a syllogism is, you know, primary premise followed by a secondary premise equaling a conclusion. You know, all blondes have fair hair. Cindy is a blonde, therefore Cindy has fair hair. If you wanted to corrupt it, you would start off the same way. All blondes have fair hair. Cindy has fair hair, therefore Cindy is a blonde. Well, you can see through that because of the contrast in the example. But when you replace that with politically thematic issues, well, then all of a sudden, it can become problematic. You know, mom and apple pie, we all love that. Here's my agenda to give mom and apple pie. If you oppose my agenda, that means you're against mom and apple pie. No, schmuck, you've just not shown me how your agenda has the properties to achieve the goal in whose name it's been proffered. It's like with Obama's Iran nuke deal. We all, you know, we want peace. Here's my Iran nuke deal for peace. If you oppose my Iran nuke deal for peace, well, that means you want war. No, schmuck, you've just failed to show any of us how your agenda has the necessary properties to achieve the peace in whose goal it's been proffered. This, I believe, has also been stripped away along with the gimmickry of trying to use labels in lieu of arguments they can't otherwise muster. Would you agree or not?
Well said. Let's keep driving that very point. We're winning. Let's keep it up.
Tim Phillips, always a blast. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.